Yo, peace, peace, peace. This is your boy Big Rush from the world famous Boogeyman, and you're in tune to the world famous Hip Hop Digest. Get that.
Listen, ladies and gentlemen, especially my boom bap hip hoppers. This versus was hip hop at its finest. And I know you guys say, yo, Joe, you bugging. Bone Thugs, 369, fuck that. I know what I saw. I saw wall-to-wall rampage from the top to the bottom. I seen 300 motherfuckers on stage that wouldn't move. I even saw a fight on stage. We'll get to that. You cannot get more hip-hop than this. You just can't. You just can't. You just can't. You just can't.
Welcome to the Hip Hop Digest Show with your man, DJ King Killer.
Don't forget about your boy, Kurt G.
Of course, it's E Green. What's up, brothers?
What's goody? What's goody?
Yo, man, I was last night, man, I was just flipping through YouTube. You know the fuck I was watching, yo? Motherfucking Johnny Carson. That motherfucker's like, here's Johnny.
He said Johnny Carson.
Yo, I was watching Johnny Carson and just some of the people who were on Johnny Carson, and I was like, yo, motherfuckers up there smoking a pack of cigarettes live on stage and shit. It's crazy.
There's a whole different
things done changed.
Landscape.
Oh, yeah, ain't no doubt about that. Shit, ain't no doubt about that. So, anyway, before we start the show, I want to give a shout out. Get well sooner, Big Rush.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
You know what I mean? So, and that's all we'll say about that. Ain't shit. I guess we're going to get into the first topic of the Hip Hop Digest. Now, these topics, actually, for those of you who are listening to the Hip Hop Digest and who are new, or maybe this is your, like, first or third time listening, this is strictly text chain. Most of the topics, I didn't even really have any topics, real talk. And shit, look at the text chain at night, I'm like, damn, there's four topics right there. All right, thank you, ladies and gentlemen of the text chain. First topic of the Hip Hop Digest is... thank you, Chris Lehman. All right. This is a two-part thing. One part is we ain't falling for the okie doke. And the next part is I can't wait.
I can't wait.
Yeah, exactly. New shoes.
New shoes.
Drake, first topic is we won't fall for the okie doke. Drake withdraws his two Grammy nominations in an unprecedented move the day of voting for the winners was due to begin. So we're not falling for the okie doke on that. Blackface, that nigga, he gonna do anything to do anything. So as we move along that, other than that being an announcement, because that kind of sets up the Chris Lehman part.
So hold on okay. A second now. How do we know the nigga ain't being genuine with that shit? How you know he ain't being genuine? Like, fuck the Grammys.
Because he's about to get sued for $1 billion on a ticket lawsuit?
I don't believe, this is just me. I rarely believe that Blackface is genuine about anything other than his personal bank account. That's just me, which is flush with cash.
Oh, yeah.
Until.
Until it ain't.
As much as that thing was set up for you, I don't believe Blackface has anything to worry about that. I think his legal team could handle that. but the Chris Lehman part is, speaking of Blackface, and this is directly out the text chain. He said he wished he could find an article that basically talked about Blackface is at a crossroads. You know, he's older. He's starting his crowd. You know, the people who you know, he represents a particular generation are starting to get a little bored of his sound and of his style. He's been kind of doing the same thing for the last decade and shit. You know, a lot of biting and shit, a lot of, you know, hopping on you know, other people's, you know what. And
Starboy.
I'm, you know, whatever you got to do. You know what I'm saying? He said, folks want to put him in a box with pop legends, then the future output will give us the answers. So now, this is what we're going to break down quickly about blackface here. And I'm kind of encouraged by that because I always said, A, number one, I always thought he was a phony. But number two, and more important, his generation crowned him king, which is just fine. You know what I'm saying? But now at legacy time. Now you starting to roll up the years and shit. He got all the Grammys and he got all the money and he got all the gold toilets and shit. But now it's legacy time. Now, because you got to remember, you dissed. Oh, I don't care. People have a Ghost Rider. See, it's legacy time. So he don't really look that good standing next to KRS-One and Big Daddy Kane. You know, yeah, I want to accept this, you know, going into the Hall of Fame. And that don't look right. Because, see, you dish that shit, right? And then it don't really look right, you know what I'm saying, trying to stand next to, you know what I'm saying, Michael Jackson and Prince, like you this high-level fucking pop star shit, when them other two brothers done proved it, you know, time and time again. They just served you up as that. So, yeah, legacy time is starting to look a little fuzzy. Now, I could be wrong. You know, I know his generation is always going to appreciate him, you know, to the fullest. But I don't know, B. Kurt G., I'm talking about years in. And I predicted this at the beginning. That legacy time, he don't look as... What do we do? How do we shoehorn him in at legacy time?
At legacy time, put it like this. You ain't gonna want to hear this shit.
Okay, my man.
But he's a Hall of fucking Famer. You gotta put him in because the run that he's had and the amount of fucking shit he's done now, because they've made this the way they've made it, the equivalents have put him on the level of a Michael Jackson, of a Prince. So those equivalents have put him on that level and made him just as big a star as they were. So he's going to get in first ballot, whether you like it or not.
Oh, no.
Now,
so,
you want to compare him to, I think comparing him to KRS-One or Big Daddy Kane or anybody of that ilk that's hip-hop is a non-fucking story because he's not even in that level. He doesn't even go to that level. He didn't even want to be part of that group.
Exactly, right.
So he can't even be in that talk anyway.
And the generation made sure that he wouldn't be a part of that shit anyway. You know what I'm saying? So that's fine with me. Now, you're right. If the American Music Awards want to anoint him as the artist of the decade or the world pop consortium of Spotify, YouTube, and Netflix want to give this nigga, he had the best run for the last 25 years. Fine. He can have that shit. He can have that shit. But that shit's Confederate money, my nigga.
Damn.
That's just Confederate money.
So why is it Confederate money, B? Why is it not real?
Shit is Confederate money because, again, it's just like Swerve was holding up the De Niro sign. It's just a consortium of paid cats who kind of want to continue a paid thing. See, that's what I'm saying. You know what? You know, I'm assuming Rocky Buchanan. I know it's not it's a museum. It's not a Hall of Fame. But it's going to be the de facto Hall of Fame and shit. And that's where guys like him don't look good there. I mean, you got plenty of cats who are going to want to shoehorn him in there. And the amount of money he may bring to that foundation may force, you know, he may twist their arms behind their back and get him in. But God damn it, that's that square peg in a round hole, my nigga.
Well, if it's going to be a hip-hop museum, I don't see how you could squeeze him in there as far as hip-hop goes. Because he, other than his first album, nigga, to me, he didn't really have any hip-hop really to him.
So that's true.
He pretty much stepped away and went straight pop.
And his fans fucking co-sign that. We don't want that. We don't care about Ghost Rider. We don't care about all this rappity rap shit. I like Drake when he's singing better anyway. Man. So that's all I'm saying. I don't want to talk about that nigga like that. I'm just saying, shout out to Chris Lehman.
Fuck that.
Let me get my shit in.
Oh, okay.
For the people that fast-forwarded all of that shit they was just talking about, let me tell you what happened. King Killer was trying to get a call from a Southern representative from the state of Texas. And Kurt G was saving us from getting a call from a certain Southern Texas elder representative. That's what happened in the last 10 minutes.
That's how you concluded that whole thing?
Yeah, hell yeah, yo. Hell yeah.
So that was way too much time and shit. And speaking of Southern representatives and whatnot, your boy was on the text chain and shit, trolling like a motherfucker, professional troller and shit. He had the boat, the whole net and everything out there.
Crankbait?
Yeah.
Oh, just trolled him right back with the first fucking topic. Trolled me too, goddammit, all of you.
Shit. All right, let's keep it rocking. Next topic, go to Hip Hop Digest, is your boy Sean Coombs is back in the news. Coombs wants to buy back Sean John from the bankrupt owner. Now, they said P. Diddy is looking to buy back Sean John Fashion.
Y'all couldn't see Igri's face.
Uh-oh.
That shit was hilarious, nigga.
Uh-oh. Apparently swerving. Hey, apparently swerving.
Don't know that's bad money.
it's bad boy money though.
That's bad boy money.
apparently Coombs, he offered $3.3 million to buy back his namesake, Global Brands.
Oh, crackheading him though. Oh, shit. Coombs for the win.
Damn, yeah, you said your man was on the...
That money just keep calling me, son. Just keep calling me.
So they said Global Brands in 2000. He said, I guess they bought that shit off of him in 2016. I didn't get the number of monies they paid for it, but they filed Chapter 11 bankruptcy after the COVID-19 pandemic basically knocked them out of business. Coombs, like you said, he's offering crackhead pennies on the dollar, I'm sure, to get Sean Jean back in his proper hands.
B, that's crackhead. B, that's getting a 2018 techniques turntable right there behind you for $50.
Wow, that is crackhead money. Yeah. That is crackhead money. So
yeah, I was laughing at first, but now I'm like, oh, nice business decision, because you can always bring it back.
At some point in time.
Yeah, now I'm not a fastanista person or whatever it's called.
Yeah, you ain't none of that, nigga.
You ain't none of that shit. Whatever you were saying, my nigga, you ain't none of that.
Yeah, but Swerve, come on, B. I was told by people who were wearing Sean John material that he made a very nice business suit. I know you're talking about that jeans and t-shirt game. I'm talking about business suit shit.
Look, yeah, it's fine. It's fine. But unlike going to get, let me be careful about what I'm going to say, because people will say some shit about a pony on a shirt or something like that, right?
Of course, yes, of course, yeah.
But you know, just Sean John all over your shit, I mean, it had its moment, yo. It had its moment. But I can't imagine that for the long term right now, people be like, yo, I got that fresh Sean John, yo.
Really?
I think he would change with the times, because even his suits didn't have Sean John all over.
Right.
As a person who had to wear suits for work, shit like that, I did occasionally look over in that part. And yeah, good quality. Obviously, it was in Macy's, right? But... And other places, I'm sure. But nah, yo.
Okay, nah. So I will say, and I would only extend this topic in the... It's interesting to me how, again, I'm just going to put this out there. Is that only true of African-American brands? Because you did say a pony on a shirt. or some other fucking logos.
They wear OP Ocean Pacific t-shirts right now, and I pulled that out of my ass because that's like 1988.
But Ocean niggas, Pacific. But niggas are still wearing a lot of other brands regularly since way back. Okay, yeah. Yes.
And if there's a class, look. First of all, let me make it clear. As always, respect to the brother for having a line. Respect.
Oh, right.
And his suits, from what I witnessed personally, did have quality material and all that kind of shit. But at the same as I'm not going to wear a fucking Tommy Hilfiger shirt with Tommy across my chest, and this is me, I'm not wearing Sean John across my chest.
No, now, I get respect, that.
If respect for people that enjoyed that, FUBU, whatever the fuck, if it's black quality, then fuck that. Respect. But it don't matter who the fuck it is, what designer, you go through these fucking cycles. Yo, who wearing Jordache jeans? I mean, they might now because it might be chic because it's fucking 30 years ago, but nobody's rocking certain things, right? You know what I'm saying? It goes in cycles, which is why I said it's a fucking brilliant business. I switched it all around. Brilliant business move for him to get it back on them crackhead prices, because it will come back with him, as you said, keeping up with the times and updating the Sean John line. I'm not saying it can't happen. It was just funny to me at first. It's like, damn, I'm thinking, ain't nobody rocking that shit right now. And again, because it was, you know, baggy, the same as Rockaware. Fucking how, three times big jeans and shit. Nobody's going to Burlington looking for Burlington Coat Factory, looking for the motherfucking Rockawares or Sean John jeans right now, my nigga.
And if they were still around, them shits would be skinny than a motherfucker.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. But that's what they will become if Mr. Combs revamps the shit to right now.
That's what's good. All right, well, you answered my question. I ain't no fashion bug and
she
shit.
She's not no fashionista. Fashionista.
It is V-neck white tee right there, chilling.
This is what this nigga like all day long, every day, B. Fuck that shit. In my white tee.
Bang in my white tee. Slang in my white tee.
This nigga got the words down, son.
I know, the troll is going to get you, yo.
I know, right? All right, next time we're going to Hip Hop Digest is, here's your boy, Swizz Beatz is frustrated with the Versus artists charging five times more than non-black shows.
So, okay, let me let you finish the copy before I ask my question, because you might answer my question. You might answer it. So, you might answer my question. So
well,
I say
this
something.
Is strictly from the copy, though.
Okay,
this
let me let you finish what you got to say.
Okay. Now, Swizzy, I'm assuming he's talking about Bone Thugs, okay? Charging five times more than non-black shows. Now, I don't know how many non-black verses he's been doing or whatever, but anyway, but this is Swizzy, straight from the copy. He said, ain't did his show in 23 summers and want to charge us like they sold out stadium prices.
Oh, okay. I see what he's saying.
Then
right.
he goes
you
on,
answer my question.
Yeah, and then he goes on to say, talking about we ain't going out on stage until my homie called from Rikers to do the prayer, showing up drunk, late, inebriated. He want to charge all kinds of motherfucking money and shit. So I'm assuming he was talking about Bone Thugs. I didn't see that he was directing any of that fire.
He didn't call names.
Well, him and Busy Bone were back and forth on the Twitter machine.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So I didn't really see any 3-6 Mafia involvement in that aspect of it. So I think Swizz is frustrated overall, because I believe that the prices that he's probably been paying for talent on these shows as of late have probably been exuberant. Not just the latest show, but maybe 2, 3, 4, 6 shows prior. Exuberant.
So
if Live Nation come to you with the aforementioned crackhead prices, maybe you're taking that.
Maybe.
But maybe when Swizz come by and shit, You know what I'm saying? You know, you're going to overcharge.
Well, this is these guys, to me, this is just me, strictly me. This is these guys figuring this is an op for them to just go ahead and just overcharge a motherfucker because they know they're going to get a bunch of eyeballs. And they said, okay, you're coming to me. You know what I'm saying? They would have to go to Live Nation and set up a tour.
Mm-hmm. Right.
See, this is Swizzy and Timbaland and them reaching out to them and saying, hey, what you think about doing a versus with such, against this, that, and the third, or whoever they're putting together. And if they agree, and they agree to a price, and let's do this. So that's these niggas saying, okay, oh, they want me to do a versus? Oh, okay, fuck that. Overcharge these niggas. Let's charge them whatever the fuck we wanted to see. If they want us, let's see what they're willing to pay for us. To me, that's some fucked up shit. But yeah, that's basically what they're doing. They're overcharging because it's a chance for them to go ahead and get a quick payday.
Can I pull a Kurt G for a moment?
Okay.
So the wonderful people at Triller and Timbaland and Swizzy, you do understand they have profited greatly
from the
series, right?
Yes, they have.
They profited greatly. And they profited greatly, in my opinion, because they have a platform like a record label of circa 90s, before the internet. But the actual draw is what?
The artist.
The artist.
Right.
So I am not, it's going to take something more for me to frown upon these artists for asking for a premium, because everybody's getting a premium. All them people, Swizzy, Timbo, Triller, whoever the fucking advertisers are, Sean Combs be having Ciroc at the fucking tables. They are getting bread. And they're getting it because of the draw of the versus artist.
So you're making my point. You're making my point. You're saying what I said. That's exactly what I said. I still say I think it's bullshit because I'm like, damn, son, this is motherfuckers. This is a chance for you to up the culture and bring out, you know what I'm saying, to do something for the culture and actually make this into something that's bigger than what it is, than just you, my nigga. You're going to get a payday regardless. And plus, these niggas is already giving niggas, the past niggas, I don't know if they still doing it, but they gave past niggas a piece of stock in the company. Okay, here's a piece of, take this with you for being on Versus. I don't know if they're going to cut that shit off or not, but they were doing that.
So let me, this is probably a false equivalent. I'm probably a false equivalent, but all of us are, and the places we talking about, and shout out to Text Chain, everybody who listen, the places we talking about, this is places we grew up at. So there was a small local grocer called Brother John's, right? So you go to Brother John's and shit, and you may go to Brother John's for a loaf of bread. Mm. Brother John's is charging twice, maybe three times the price of a loaf of bread. But you go right up the street, Pershing Avenue, I believe, to the Wonder Bread joint.
Bread store, $3-$4.
So they may be a day old or a couple days past sales date, but them prices is significantly lower. Now, it's probably a false equivalent. It's probably a false equivalent, but I'm thinking that people feeling like, you know, damn. You know,
that is a false equivalent.
Okay,
That's apples and oranges.
Okay.
Because Brother John was providing a service to his community.
He was.
The community's only thing was, what the community was doing, us included, was supporting a brother that had a store in the hood. Now, he was probably wrong for charging all that extra, you know what I'm saying? Because he could have easily went down the street on Pershing Avenue to the Wonder Bread spot, caked up, and came back and doubled that and still got good.
But we're
not on there. But us as consumers, that's a whole different piece of the pie. That's talking like if we had to pay to watch these versuses.
Okay, I got you.
All right.
All right. Only thing I guess I can really say about that is that I don't know. I'm always suspect to why people wanna. Kurt G said the other day about rappers getting together and doing a huge thing about feeding people, and there have been past shows, and why couldn't you know, Hove and Suge Knight and all these label owners get together and then tell Universal and Sony, get the fuck out of here, we got this. Well, you see why. You see why. Because even though it's Swizz, and like you said, Triller and them, they getting money. So let's not act like they ain't getting money, but they ain't getting any more money than any other business venture on that level. So yes, whether if it's a Live Nation or any of these other, all these people getting money, but mm-hmm. it's just interesting to me how a group of people can look at Swizzy and Timberland as the face of this. When let's say the standard rate is let's say 50,000, but this is Swizzy, nigga. I want 120 grand.
Yeah, that's foul.
Yeah,
that's
foul. I'm sorry, I got to call that part out.
Get all that bread from anybody to try to use your legacy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Don't just look at the black store, go up and like, hey, Brother John, I know this. Hey, up the street. I could walk up the street, Brother John, and get a loaf of bread, 50 cents. You charge me $6? You know, I just, yeah. If you,
That's the part I got to call out.
Get it from everybody, not just, it's you're right. The key thing is you're saying those, Timberland and Swizz are not the top of the food chain. Once they sold it.
Once they sold it, they just became the face of it.
They are the face, right. So they're getting used too.
Oh, no doubt. So.
But oh well.
That's what's
they're
up.
They're happy.
So, right. So part two of this is the Fat Joe recap of this particular versus situation. And Fat Joe, as usual.
Oh, God.
Is lathering up so crazy, right?
No.
Ooh. I mean, he got a crazy lather going, right? You know what I mean? Talking about, you know what I mean? As you heard on the intro, talking about, I'm going to get all my boom bap, all my backpack cats. You know, this is the finest hip-hop shit. You know what I mean? Talking about this. Look, if you're a Bone Thugs and you're a 3-6 Mafia fan.
Wait. For all those of us that don't fucking know, are you just saying to me that Fat Joe said that 3-6 Mafia versus Bone Thugs Harmony was some top of the fucking food chain hip hop shit?
Yes, sir.
All right, I'm gonna listen now.
But I was prefacing it by saying that he really worked up a lather. You know what I'm saying? And shit, I mean, he got
that Barbasol, huh?
Yeah, right.
Definitely.
Yeah, he worked up that lather, right? You know what I mean? Trying to do what he can on the recap to convince you what you saw was really the highest. Now, personally, if you're a fan of these particular groups, I'm sure records were sung that are close to your heart. But that shit was a mess. That shit was a fucking mess. And I know with Fat Joe, really what he was trying to say, it was probably the most rah-rah of the verses. You know what I mean? You got a million niggas on stage or whatever. And then when you want to add in what Swizzy saying about unprofessional behavior, showing up inebriated and all this shit. Man, you can keep Fat Joe, you can keep that shit. I know you're trying to get your brand off the ground and shit. Man, fuck that. Stop that. You fucking yourself over with that, B. You look crazy with that shit. I don't give a fuck who's in the audience. I don't give a fuck how many backstage niggas you know and want to give a shout out to industry plugs and shit. Man, you look crazy. To me, the show was a mess. Period.
And that's King Killer's recap, my nigga.
You know what I'm saying? And Bone Thugs, just a history. You talk about motherfuckers who fuck their legacy up. You know what I mean? I just saw a motherfucking article with Juicy J and them niggas at 3-6 talking about, really, we fucked our shit up due to drug use and being fucked up in the game. At least he admitting it. You know, busy boning them niggas out there looking fucked up and shit. And want me to buy this other shit? Come on, man. Damn, B.
Them dudes been looking for a fight for a minute. Well, not them. I'm going to say Busy Bone. He been looking for a fight for a minute. He been on the internet. Talking about Kurt G's boys from Atlanta. All of that, yo. Is this, I mean,
and he looked crazy.
Don't fucking give the fucking promoters and the niggas a pass, nigga. They knew this shit was brewing, it might have been hard to cancel it, or it might have kicked off earlier if they'd be like, yeah, he can't get on, he's too drunk. But there's a lot of people responsible for that shit, yo. It could have been just as good as fucking Patti LaBelle and Gladys Knight. It could have been easy like Sunday morning. But these people want to take extra shit. You're an artist, G. I don't know what was said to get it to that point.
Right.
But damn, yo.
To me, niggas, as you said, they're doing too much, is what it is. Niggas just be doing too much. They hit the stage, and they come in on the stage gangland style, like my gang against your fucking gang.
Exactly.
And it's not, it's your music against my music. It really should be a celebration of hip-hop, is what it should be. Niggas should be up here reminiscing about the times of when they first heard Thuggish Ruggish Bone. Because when I first heard that motherfucking song, I damn near lost my mind. Like, what the fuck is this shit here? And the chick singing, that shit was haunting the way she sung that song. I was like, this shit here is drive-by music. There's a lot of niggas gonna get killed over this shit. It's crazy. What the fuck is going on with this song? That shit was nuts. But instead of that shit, these niggas coming on stage, like I said, on some gangland shit, bringing niggas to the stage, all my niggas over here, your niggas over there, and motherfucking want to stare each other down all night.
And they're not young.
Right. Niggas is 50, my nigga. Or at least 45 and up. So what are you doing? Why? This is unnecessary shit you doing right here. You should be out here celebrating shit.
And the thing is, and you talk about cats who really, you know, have a legacy. They at least, there's a lot of phony niggas out there who ain't got no legacy. These guys actually had a legacy and had the music that real chops. You know what I'm saying? I don't know.
Joey Crack said it was the shit.
Oh, man. Fat Joe. I don't give a fuck who show up on there, man. Fat Joe, as long as he invited in the VIP and he's out there like a motherfucker Tom Brokaw now. You know what I mean? They got him, you know, inviting him in, flying him in. So, like you said, Ciroc on the table and all this shit now. So he's protecting his brand. He's doing what he's getting paid to do.
Talk about Amber Rose and everybody
else. Yeah, all kinds of shit.
Joe, when this gets to you in 7 years, you can still holler at us. We'll be around.
Hey, Joe, you can disagree, but hey, just put that in your pocket, yo. Put it in your pocket,
Joe,
and hold
it. Hey, Joe, shit's real.
All I got to say is you're better than this, son. You're better than this.
Shit. All right, that's what's good, yo. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest. This is a courtesy of T-Bear 183. And this is kind of a serious topic because it's modern day and it's history. You know what I'm saying? Point and kill. Hmm. Okay, those of us who are old enough, meaning our age group, okay, we weren't around, but the pictures were still around. Mississippi, 1955, a 14-year-old Emmett Till, youth from Chicago, was visiting his family in Mississippi, the scene of a fateful encounter with a then 20-year-old Carolyn Bryant Donham. Accounts from that day differ. But I'm not going to read the copy, but everyone knows that Emmett ended up being lynched. And they put those photos, I know we all coming up in the 70s and looking at Jet Magazine, you talk about the haunting, my nigga, haunting.
He didn't even look human.
Oh my God. So those of you who are young, obviously, the internets and shit, you can see that very easily. The picture of Emmett Till. Basically, you know, they did an investigation and they basically said that we couldn't find enough evidence that Mrs. Carolyn Bryant Donham lied because they had did an investigation. In 2008, one of her friends said that they claimed that Emmett, you know, that part of Emmett grabbing her waist and propositioning her and saying that he had been with white women before didn't happen. didn't even matter. All he had to do was whistle, and it was over any fucking way. But I digress. So they did an investigation. They couldn't come back with anything, which comes to part two of Point and Kill. Okay. Anthony Broadwater, a 61-year-old resident of Syracuse, New York, a former Marine, was exonerated last week for the brutal rape, assault, and robbery of Alice Siebold. He was convicted in 1982. Now, Miss Siebold was an 18-year-old college student who was brutally raped, no doubt. I'm not even... Shit. What can I say about that? That happened to her, 100. But just like in the Emmett Till case, being a white woman, all she had to do was point and say, he did it. It could have been any one of us on the street corner minding our own business. And she roll up and say, he did it. All right. Mr. Broadwater spent 16 years in a can and a further 23 years as a registered sex offender, although he was innocent. Because Miss Siebold, who claims that she was a victim of the justice system as well, swallows, it goes down the wrong way, because all she had to do was point and say, he did it. That black man did it.
That's history. It's historical.
People are questioning Miss Siebold's sincerity, considering by the mid-90s, she could have known that he certainly did not do it, and she could have tried to free him much earlier than he got freed. She was quiet on the set. She was silent on the set. And again, like I said, she is a victim as well, no doubt, because she did get raped and was brutally raped, but not by that brother. And just like in the case of Emmett Till, this is one of these things where history again plays itself out. Now, he didn't get lynched like Emmett, no doubt, but he spent a long time in the Bing, and then further life was complicated by a sex offender registry situation, all because white women in this country, all they got to do is point and say, you did it.
Modern day Karens now.
Well, yeah, I mean, certainly they're you can call them Karens, but it's deeper than that. So I don't know. I guess I'm only bringing that up is that while people have and mostly African Americans, again, always, you know, we have a complaint about the justice system, and that is just point blank. Man, that could have so been easily any of us.
Yeah.
That could have been so much easy evidence. Shout out to T-Bear. I thought it was a history lesson worth bringing up. I know it's not a Hip Hop Digest topic per se, but oh my goodness. The ironies of that the Emmett Till report would just come back right on the heels of Mr. Broadwater, you know, his whole situation. So I, you know.
Yeah, dude, that's crazy.
And that lady's still alive. No, before that lady passed, with Emmett Till, before she passed, she admitted that was untrue. Didn't that happen?
I think
I think she admitted that it did not happen like that.
Okay.
Before she passed.
Well,
right before she passed.
Apparently she had told several people that it didn't happen, which had a new investigation, but they never really found officially whether she lied about that or not. But it doesn't even matter. All she had to do was say he did it anyway. So, what? Yeah, exactly. So, you know, next topic on the Hip Hop Digest, Jay-Z's playlist.
Not another playlist.
No, I'm not going through the playlist. I'm just...
Oh, thank you.
Got a picture of Hov, right? And I just don't... And this is the type of stuff I don't like.
It's the shit I don't like.
They said Hov shows love to MF Doom, Vince Staples, Mock Harmony, and more on his new Spotify playlist. I'm like, I don't like that, man.
That's not a bad playlist, though, if that's who he's showing love to.
I mean, come on, man. This is Hov. Okay? It's Hov. Hov can't contact Mock Harmony and be like, yo, we ready to bring this real street game back. I mean, MF Doom been grinding. I mean, you know, Rest of the Dead, you know what I mean? But come on, B. Hov knew MF Doom. You know who MF Doom is. Could have been on that game. Just Spotify playlist shit. I got a playlist.
Spotify's a platform, brother. Don't let it get you.
I know. And it was funny because there's another topic that has to do with that in a way has to do with Spotify. Let's exit off the whole freeway quickly.
Okay. I don't see nothing wrong with Mac okay. Tommy.
All right. No, we're okay.
You down with Griselda and them?
Okay. I'm off the exit. Okay. So. Next topic again.
Next exit.
Yeah, next topic into the next exit. T-Bear, and this only has to do with Spotify and the fact that it was a video where Preem was talking about albums and how they sounded, and how he talked about Tribe Called Quest set a new standard for how albums sound and Mobb Deep. Now, I don't know if he was talking about the actual sound mixing of albums or at least how albums were made and sequenced. So I'm missing that part. This is just a text chain situation. But I will tell you this, that I believe per just by mixing that East Coast albums and West Coast albums have two different sounds. And I'm not talking about sound of quality of music. I'm talking about their approach to music. And I think that Steely Dan, you get the answer in the Steely Dan documentary where Steely Dan talks about the East Coast players taking chances with the music and being more gritty, right? While the West Coast players are sophisticated. They know about recording techniques. They know about that high type of quality of recording. And that is reflected in the music. East Coast records always had the analog, plenty of popcorn, the grittiness, the muddiness, the true street Jeep sound. West Coast albums, Dr. Dre and them always showed up at the best labs. I mean, they may have started out in a home lab or whatever, but shortly thereafter that, they're showing up at state-of-the-art studios. That's why NWA Records, that's why Compton's Most Wanted, and everybody else you can think of, classic DJ Quick, crisp. The albums are so fucking crisp. You know what I mean? Because that's how they recorded. Fuck. Fucking half of Queensbridge is on a fucking Molly Mall 4-track. And Russell Simmons, who's paying premium studio time, doesn't understand why the bridge may be technically knocking harder than maybe Rock the Bells, if you will, if you want to just do a contrast and comparison. G, go ahead and bring it home for me. You're an engineer by trade.
Well, East Coast sound to me, like a Mobb Deep in them, is their hip hop to me just gave you a different feel. It came more down to less of engineering and more to feeling as far as how it felt. The East Coast shit felt a whole lot different. Like I said, that grimy boom bap feeling, that sound that you got from a Mobb Deep or maybe a I'm losing it right now. My favorite group of all time.
M.O.P.
M.O.P. Thank you for bringing it in. My favorite group, M.O.P. Yes. And that's no disrespect to all y'all niggas on there talking De La. De La's number two. But yes. But anyway, their sound is so gritty and so just like that feel you got from it is a different feeling than I got from when I listened to anything West Coast. The shit knocked, no doubt. It knocked and it was, and I liked it. It was clean sound. I wasn't so into a lot of that heavy G-funk, deep Jerry Curl shit because the niggas couldn't rhyme to me. A lot of them niggas didn't have no rhyme skills. But
he threw Jerry Curls in there just for the aesthetics.
But that was the sound and the look of them niggas back then. What was that nigga drew down on them niggas?
Ooh.
That was that look. But I didn't really think their rhyme skills was that good. But the sound quality of the music was crazy. I can't front on that.
Well, again, but I think it just gets down to, again, the specific recording processes. Because to me, what you got from whether if it's Tribe or Mobb or a lot of M.O.P., was straight from the dusty samples of Oscar Peterson straight to the mastering platter. You know what I mean?
And you got Got niggas like Bob Powers cleaning that shit up, making it sound good.
Well, whoever, whether it was Bob Powers or whoever it might have been, I'm just saying, either West Coast cats were more sophisticated than that. Again, they could have sampled that, but I can guarantee you a lot of times they probably had session players in there playing the fucking Tom Brown bass lines, if you will, or whatever they happen to be sampling at the time, or DJ Quick, who plays several instruments himself. So that's all I'm saying. I think it's just a matter of recording techniques.
Oh, yeah, because like the East Coast niggas, a lot of them niggas couldn't play a lick. No fucking instruments. Not. They sampled everything. They fucking played. If they was going to get a bass line, they just stole it from a record and maybe chopped that bitch up and played something with it. Where, like you said, West Coast niggas, you said they was in there. They had niggas playing it, but they didn't play it themselves.
Right, exactly. And it's funny because you look at records, like a lot of times we like the Pine and Fawn over Critical Beatdown. But when I listen to Critical Beatdown now versus when I listened to Critical Beatdown as a kid, but oh my God, I literally hear every chop, every loop, every sequence that said G did. And in my mind, I'm like, God damn it, I can see the program on the SP right now. You know what I mean? When I listen to, you know, any number of West Coast records, I'm like, oh, they had a high-end studio. They had session players coming in and just the highest level. It's not a diss. It's just the different recording techniques. That's all, you know. So, indeed, much like, again, I like to wax poetically about Florida. Florida niggas knew one language.
808.
And every iteration of 808, every tone, every hertz, anything you can think of, that's what they did. You know?
So, yeah.
Indeed. So, all right. Well, I mean, that's what's up. Unfortunately, Kurt G actually has a real fucking fishbowl in here. I can't believe it.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to put a beta fish in that motherfucker when it's all said and done.
I hope you use waterproof ink.
So, no doubt. So, do you want to do this now or
since
later?
You already done did it now. You done pulled a rabbit out the hat. Let's go ahead and pull one out this motherfucker.
Yeah.
Let me shake it around.
Wow.
Yes, sir. We got a real fishbowl in here.
Wow. The next contestant on the Hip Hop Digest is...
If you really want to do it.
No. See, hold up. Yeah.
Hand almost got caught in the bowl.
Yeah, I had to move my hand out the way.
Right here. Real Kempy. If you're still listening to the show, the real Kempy, next Tuesday late, you're the next contestant on the Hip Hop Digest.
But you have until you can't holler. You can't say on that day we gonna need to hear from you. Contact at hiphopdigestshow.com. Where you can also request a T-shirt for $25.
Well, he's in the text chain. He's in the text chain. Just go in there and be like, "I'm here. I'm down."
No doubt. And also, you can get our Hip Hop Digest Show T-shirts. Just hit us at cash. Just send a Cash App with a note with your size and color, black or white, at $ Hip Hop Digest Show. Yeah. We trying to get that business in right now, yo.
No doubt.
It's end of the year.
So before we do, Kurt G's World Famous. Before we do Kurt G's World Famous, I got to, and I didn't do the round table. I wanted to do the round table, but the Kurt G, and I'm going to start with you, the best sounding, maybe the best mixed. Grammys actually used to give Grammys to mixing engineers who mix the best record. What's the best sounding rap record, or what you think the best sounding rap record is?
Wow. I would say between, to me... It would have to be sounding wise.
Yes, mix wise, engineers wise.
I'm gonna have to give it to Dre, and it's gonna have to either be Chronic or Doggy Style to me.
Because
that Doggy Style shit, I damn near let the tape rock to it pop, my nigga.
Okay, you want me to answer now?
Of course.
Believe it or not, sonically to me, fucking Aquemini, Outkast.
Woo! That boy. Did sound good.
Yeah, it
that
did.
Shout out to the Dungeon fans.
My that God, that, good. Oh my God. That's another, good. That was another live bass and the bass lines and the rumble in that record.
Oh yeah, the boys did a big up there. Thank you, sir. I forgot about them.
No problem. I had to think real quick since you threw that out there at us.
Yeah, thank you, sir. I did.
I'm stuck. I'm stuck. That you guys really knocked it out of the park with those. I gotta say, I'm stuck. What do I think is probably the best sounding? I mean, just mix so and crisp.
And I'm gonna come back with another one now that just came.
Okay.
If you don't say it,
I'm probably not gonna say it. But I'm probably. Oh God! I'm fucking flabbergasted. I'm flummoxed. I'm flummoxed.
B. How many times have we been in here listening to this album? It's going to kick you in the head right now.
Okay, go ahead. You say it.
Houdini, my nigga. Oh. How clean that shit sounds.
Battery Studios, London, England, my nigga.
That shit sounded so fucking clean. We was like, what the fuck? This is Houdini. This is early 80s, my nigga.
Back in Black, Battery Studios, London, England.
That's incredible.
But they're like California. They flew all our people to London to record at Battery.
Yeah, sure did.
So, you know what I mean?
That shit sounds sick to this
So the
day.
Man who asked the question had no answer. Ain't that something?
we took his answers.
Well, no.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
To me, I guess
best sounding R&B.
Nah.
between Michael Jackson.
Oh, yeah, Michael Jackson. Yeah.
No. Oh, hold up. Loose ends, my nigga. Don't front. Jackson's murder.
No.
Sade too.
Jackson. Sade you can throw in. Jackson. But Loose Ends, go back and listen to Loose Ends. A lot of echo, B. I don't know about that. A lot of echo. Don't sound as good as it used to. I'm gonna be honest with you. Records that don't sound to me as good as they used to. A lot of motherfucking Taboo, a lot of Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, SOS band. They a lot of fucking echo in them records, my nigga. They could have tuned back a little bit. I'm thinking from the engineer brain, not the quality of the music.
This nigga's a nigga critic right now.
Yeah. Damn
Everybody's
right.
Everybody's a critic.
Damn right. Critics Corner. And so we'll get into Kerji's world famous albums of the week, but probably to me, and I'm going to tell you why I'm saying these two records is because that's when I had the Jeep with the crazy speakers in it. It would be the DJ Quick record, and for the life of me, I don't remember the name of the fucking album now. That's why, but when you get over 50, it's curtains.
Must be Compton, or is it Just Like Compton?
yeah, the one that had Just Like Compton on it. It's either between that and the Bizarre Ride, Far Side.
Ooh,
those fucking records.
That Far Side.
That Bizarre Ride is mixed impeccably. Ooh. But that's what's up. So now
there
we're ready.
Yeah. Got it.
Okay. Now we're ready for Kirk G's world famous albums of the week.
All right. This week we got Grim Reapers and quote. Minds of Music. That's Grim Reapers and quote Minds of Music. Then we got Born Talent for My Listening Pleasure. Born Talent for My Listening Pleasure.
All right, that's what's up. Damn, that nigga said Aquemini boy, show you right.
Yes, sir.
I forgot about them.
Show
niggas.
You right.
And before we get out of here, Killer, this is especially to you, Kurt.
My man.
To you as well. As we grew up in this era and time. There is a fucking documentary coming on HBO called Mr. Saturday Night about the filming of Saturday Night Fever. I can't wait to watch that joint.
Wow, it's crazy. Saturday Night Fever, the Bee Gees, my nigga. Hey,
it's the movie. It's a documentary on the movie. Not just the album. I mean, the album is basically Saturday Night Live, or Saturday Night Fever, excuse me. But you know how I'm about documentaries.
Yo, your
I
boy.
I watched a documentary about how they make Q-tips, B.
Yo,
this is Saturday Night Fever.
Your boy.
This is the aesthetics of how you make cucumbers.
I'll tell
salad.
You what, man. Your boy John Travolta in that motherfucker shit, yo.
Man.
I mean, he just had White Cats change up their entire style after that movie,
All
my nigga.
All of it. We saw it.
See, this is the Italians got their swag.
Man, nigga, what? Yes, nigga. Man, nigga, I'm trying to tell you, my nigga, straight poly, especially growing up in York, straight polyester down, my nigga.
Big long shit. Collars, yeah,
with
the
big collars.
Yeah,
them
boy.
Six tuxedo style collars.
What, nigga?
Shit. Yeah.
So, all right, that's what's up. Yes, I will look forward to that. Because like you said, yeah, man, real right or wrong, up or down, we was in that era. So, no doubt. All right, so, you know, how we try to do it, because we always do it, and we're going to continue to do it, because you know how we do it.
Get in the text game. Get in here.
Peace.
One.
Intensifies. Meanwhile, street views begin to rise. Tension amongst men with kin who ride. Then friends spin within enemy lines. Then again, seems like infinity times. Back and forth till more the enemy dies. You can see the last breath in the wintry skies. You can tell that stress can trigger a mind. Living hell, low shells and trigger a mind. Suicide, everyone else figured is fine. Do or die where death can hit me a drive. On the wrong road, chasing the women and shine. Got a stronghold over the killings and crime. With the wrong codes, you can just feel it inside. Never ending cycle where the innocent cries. Steady rain, the drizzle intensifies. It's like the nighttime. Took my people out their right mind. It's like the nighttime. Took my people out they right mind.
Yeah, Midwest shit. Talk to them.
Yeah, I pour one on the curb for those that's gone. I roll one at the crib and smoked alone. No respect for the ones that broke the code. I say a prayer for the ones they rolling on. It hurts more than a wound, a broken bone. It gets dirty in Detroit and you don't belong. Some know all the words and quote your song. Same ones that kick your door with smoking chrome. Broken souls raised in broken homes. Broken oaths left them broken bold. Unsolved when the shit got old and cold. Unresolved when they come to slow you roll. No talking out of this if you owe, you owe. Retaliation dumped in the hole below. It's how it is at the crib when you're wrong, you're wrong. Pour one on the curb for those that's gone. It's like the nighttime. Took my people out their right mind.
Yeah.
It's like the nighttime. Took my people out their right mind.
Hey yo, when night falls and it's 20 below, the gun blow. 10 boots mark the trail in the snow. The way of life in the go. Niggas is lawless, cops is heartless. The only pieces in the coffin. The streets swipe souls in the hood often. Take risks, not caring what it's costing. From Costner to Austin, brothers die. Sounds of mother's cries, feeling the pain inside. Hustling to survive, the job to stay alive is full time. 10,000 hour mastery turns to blasphemy. Envy inspires gunfire, claiming casualties. The world we living in is tearing down our dreams, and it seems we never wake up from this nightmare. Blowing in the night air, the spirit of Satan inside the man, waiting with the uniform with his gun drawn. He yells freeze with no regard to the life. He mows down the brother for being black, the wrong color. We suffer in the nighttime.
Yo, it's like the nighttime. Took my people out their right mind. It's like the nighttime. Took my people out their right mind.
Yeah, Midwest shit. Talk to them. Yeah.
praise. Ah. Yeah. Let's do it. Maybe the unlimited edition of dance is a little much for you to understand, and I understand. It's hard comprehending winning from your position. You couldn't see the vision, so you aborted the mission. Listen, my hand hot, I'm gracious. I move through the block in a land yacht. That thing spacious is with a different spaces. You don't know what 100% imported Italian Egyptian lace is. The root of the family tree, they root for me. Along the scenic route from Pickin Avenue to Cantonese. I can't believe these dudes would lose faith in the ace. Get deceived and put your faith in the eighth. Looking good, champ. Put your bag in the trunk before I dismantle your swag and put a mag in your gut. I'm dangerous. Take a couple steps back from me. There's homies in the hood that'll shake a rat for me. The chief back. I know you know the fact on who architected the map on how we got where we at. Beethoven, I orchestrate soldiers. Let's get it rolling. Get your chest swollen. We do it big. Been doing it big. And still doing it big. I'ma let you live. But you know what it is. Some people call me the greatest. I'm humble when I say it. I can't deny it. I'm amazing. My cadence is electrifying. K's the line. Condemn them from the airwaves. Give a minimum wage. I commend them for trying. Look, I built bridges without the alliance. My name should be engraved in mahogany and gave to science. Here's a blueprint on how you do shit. You gotta shake and move shit within your own movement. And don't lose it. Keep control. Don't throw out your pole. Fishing for positions you can't hold. And remember the goal. This is chess, not checkers. Every step ain't a step. Every step is a lesson. You can run into some pressure, but ain't no need of stressing that. It's gonna be some roadblocks on the path to where your blessing at. You gonna have to GPS it to find another route to get it. Recalculating can take a second. Don't be reckless. The chief back. I know you know the fact on who architected the map on how we got where we at. Beethoven, I orchestrate soldiers. Let's get it rolling. Get your chest swollen. We do it big. Been doing it big. And still doing it big. I'ma let you live. But you know what it is.
Time to handle our bitch.
Down with the group called digging in the crate.
Think it's time I got my whole clique to sound. Think it's time to get down from town to town. If you didn't know, this clique can't be touched. If your clique ain't weak, you ain't fucking.
We on a world tour with Midnight Marauders and such. I'm at the table like the Godfather, smoking a Dutch, controlling the buck. I roll with enough niggas that are blowing the clutch. Not only holding we bust, the fat rap. So pass that and let me hit it. Got me gas, black skins was mad fat. She flipped it, Bronx is equipped with niggas that are rip shit. Studios get blown from D&D to Mystic. With this shit, I'll bomb the nation from a distance. The jewel, gotta have patience plus persistence. We rock, blast like rock. Birds waiting for bottles to pop in the condo, models that rock to some of my career from bottom to top. Now we in the thick of it, and you don't stop.
Think it's how I got my whole clique to sound. Think it's how it gets down from town to town. If you didn't know, this clique can't be touched. If your clique ain't thick, you ain't fucking.
Check it, I be puffing blunts in the house, sex and stunts on the couch. This year, a lot of frauds might be punched in their mouth. And when your wife see me, she don't know how to act. So don't be mad when I blow out her back. Real, your whole team a bunch of poop putts. You made a few bucks, jade a few sluts. Then y'all started running your lips a little too much. My whole crew wow, Snickers new now. We go to clubs, hit the bar and trick too foul. Other MCs ain't got a chance at all, cause Big L Codeon is too advanced for y'all. Chicks can never walk away cause they like the sex. Flamboyant is the label that writes the checks. I'm a pimped out nigga that walk with kings, talk with slang, who all from New York to Spain. Haters eating, B-Y me, B-I-G, cause I'm VIP P till I D-I-E, what?
Think it's how I got my whole clique to sound. Think it's how it gets down from town to town. If you didn't know, this clique can't be touched. If your clique ain't thick, you ain't fucking with us. Think it's how I got my whole clique to sound. Think it's how it gets down from town to town.
T-I-T-C, nigga.
If you didn't know, this clique can't be touched. If your clique ain't thick, you ain't fucking with us.
Yo, I spark light.
the pen, drink OJ with gin, rock Timbs with my laces untied. Cruising the city on 17 inches, ride past winches, past the projects, stuff chilling on the benches. Profile low, what's if I had an ill vengeance? Life on earth is just a death sentence. Fuck it, I'm Omega, arm lega lega, arm with coasting. If you pose a threat to my nature, D-I-double-G-I-N-I-N-T-H-E, crazy lock shit times 10. Dive in, become a part of a cliche, the art of an expert, the honor from New York to Florida. Chicks rush the corridors, niggas try to star with us. Besides rolling dick, my whole crew be marvelous.
Think it's how I got my whole clique to sound. Think it's how I get down from town to town. If you didn't know, this clique can't be touched. If your clique ain't weak, you ain't fucking with us. Think it's how I got my whole clique to sound. Think it's how I get down from town to town. If you didn't know, this clique can't be touched. If your clique ain't weak, you ain't fucking with us.
Worldwide, time to handle our bitch.
Down with the group called Digging in the Crate.
Worldwide, time to handle our bitch.
Down with the group called Digging in the Crate.
Worldwide.
Now you stuff your nose with that white hoe. Niggas beginning to think powdered lips make them hip. Look at the other fiends, recognize for you slip. Cause I remember the times we were smoking bud and drinking wine. Now all of a sudden out of nowhere you sniffing line. And I'm able to say through all my pains and all my pressures, I kept my nose closed working to keep my shit together. And why the fuck you need a sniffing free to sniff shit with your ass? Cause your ass got cunned in. Think again. Cause even if I'm having problems, experimenting with other drugs ain't gon' help me solve. I try and fry, and what in the fuck did it do for me? A damn thing, now that fry shit's history. Some is walking around, don't even know their own name. A couple of years later, you'll be doing the same thing. I got love for the ones who had love from the jump. But Lord, help my brothers fight the funk.
Superfly, you fucked up. Now your world is a plastic bag of white dust. Sucker, buster, don't come round me with that. Real niggas use crack to make their pockets fat. We don't need no more zombies walking dead amongst us. And fake brothers who corrupt the mind of our youngsters. Cocaine one way or another leaves to permanent scars. A life of drug abuse or worse, a life behind bars. To some it's not an easy choice, but it ain't hard for me. Fuck that white bitch, cause I don't never wanna be somewhere trying to make up some kind of lie to say why this motherfucking nose
when
won't go away.
When a fat piece of toilet paper suck up in your nose pipe, can't smell shit cause you been snouting through the whole night. I ain't trying to say that I'm better than the next man. I understand anyone can do what they know they can, but you can't if you constantly looking for a way out. Stay out my path, I ain't trying to put the hay out. I lay out the truth of shit so that you can get deeper into the shit I'm saying. Why my tape is playing, need to listen up, excuse me. Nobody but yourself cause that cocaine ruling. Now who's in fucking charge of your decision? As long as you continue to fuck around with punk miss.
Day when niggas used to say, don't get high off your own supply and make that pay. Paper, cheese, fatty, chips, grip, flow, stacks, loot, green, whatever you want to call that shit. Now I'm the serious tip for real, here's what I've been thinking. Our world is fucked up and it ain't just for one reason. Babies coming to this world hooked on drugs with AIDS. Hypocrites use religion just to get paid. But in my neighborhood I seen something hella drastic. It was tragic, it left the victim in a casket. Let me take you back to sometime in the 70s, when old heads used to snout like we smoke weed. That shit was cool then, but now let's take another look. Instead of powder packs, now you need your shit cooked. That cool nigga that used to kick a fro and wear them stacks, he that nigga today starving trying to buy some crack. Now some people say that all drugs is bad drugs, and in their eyes I'm a junkie cause I smoke bud. If so, then God please forgive me, for I have sinned, and forgive those who live for the funk, for the funk.
In mind, I'm gifted with the strength to go the limp, and if it's rough enough to keep the crowd in a standstill, they catch contact from a rhyme that's ill. Your reputation wondered, it's smooth, done by one nation under a groove. Rhymes I keep dropping them, suckers I keep stopping them. Peas, I'm not popping them, attitudes I'm popping them. Speaking very clearly, so check the theory. If I was a car, you wouldn't have to scare me. Press the control, just let me roll and cruise. None other can match cause they all catch the blues. It's only two confused, but none else can blow smoother. If you think you can, grab a stand and prove to me that you can and will. If not, just sit and chill. Be set in my pocket cause I fit the bill. Position myself to go longer and stronger, biting my words like you don't know who they belong to. Putting much emphasis while I empty this rhyme down your ear, I'm sure you'll envy this. I hook and sling, that's what it took to bring back the old pastime. And it's the last time a jam was slammed. Look what we have before us, I think I said enough. Must bust the chorus. This is directed to you and yours. Hold your applause because I'm pursuing to be the best. And yes, what I'm saying, if the track was a class, I'd pass with an A in control. I roll over suckers who even claim to be on my tip. They even got the same name as me. All you're doing is causing confusion. I'm speaking to you frankly. You need to thank me. I go for broke. My rhyme smoke like a joint. Expressing myself with the help of a ballpoint. Sit back, relax. In fact, take notes. Not only do I break hearts, I break hopes. Can never be taken among those making jams. Thinking and slam, but the faking. Don't try to bite me, or try to fight me, or take me lightly. All you do is excite me. The beat is kicking, so I'ma stomp this. Rely on the skill and the will to accomplish what I set out to do. And I bet that you listen to the words and bust a step or two. You have the audacity to ask of me to slow down when I fall down, so you can last with me. Save the drama and all the station you tried to rip, but now it's time to get down here.